Hey, well, good morning, Crossway. So good to be with you this morning, with you connecting with us online. And I'm excited to be able to share the word with you today. And God's really been speaking to me as I've been preparing this message about cutting through the noise. Pastor Heather spoke on it last week. I'm continuing it on today, wrapping it up, just a two-week mini-series. And then for the next few weeks, we can be excited that we're going to be hearing from our senior pastor, Pastor Dale. And so I'm expecting for God wants to speak into our lives today. Cutting through the noise. I want to read to us a passage, 1 Kings chapter 19. And you can look that up in your Bible this morning. I'm going to read it to us. 1 Kings chapter 19, verses 9 through to 13. And then I want to unpack it a little bit for us today. There he went into a cave and spent the night. This is about Elijah, a prophet in the Old Testament. And the word of the Lord came to him. What are you doing here, Elijah? He replied, I have been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, torn down your altars, and put your prophets to death with the sword. I am the only one left, and now they are trying to kill me too. The Lord said, go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by. Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper. When Elijah heard it, he pulled his cloak over his face and he went out and he stood at the mouth of the cave, cutting through the noise. You know, we've been in lockdown for some time here in Victoria, and I don't want to bring a big focus on that today, but it is a huge part of our lives. And last year when we were in the lockdown, we came to the stage of lockdown where our kids started remote learning. So we had to get some devices for my two sons, Malachi's 10, Cooper, who's 8, to be able to do their learning remotely from home. And because we didn't want any more noise in the house, we got them headphones to go with their devices as well. And this would mean they could, you know, like do their classes. We don't have to hear everything that they're doing in their classes. They can be in the same room and they're not distracting each other. But inevitably, that's led to them watching, you know, sort of YouTube and Netflix and a bunch of different things in their own time on their devices with their headphones on. Now, there's a difference between my two sons. Malachi, he's 10. We didn't teach him this, but just intuitively, when he would put his headphones on, he would only ever have one ear cup covering his ear. He loves to stay in touch with the rest of the house, that if anyone calls his name or there's a conversation, that he can sort of be a part of it. He can know what's going on. But my eight-year-old son, Cooper, and I don't blame him for this. I might be the same if I was in this situation. He loves to just immerse himself. And so he's always both ear cups on, zoned in on his screen, and he's watching and he's listening and intently focused. And this is great. I'm sure he's having a great experience. But for me as his dad, when I want to get his attention, can I tell you, it's hugely frustrating. See, I go to speak to him, but he can't hear me because he's got both ear cups on. Malachi, he can hear me. And so I yell a little bit louder, raise my voice at Cooper. Maybe I make a sharp noise, like I slap the bench or a loud clap to see if I can get through with a sharp noise. Doesn't work. So I'll do a stupid dance, you know, like some sort of erratic kind of movement might get his attention. I know there's a gumma good dancer. And it still doesn't work. And so at this point, frustrations can be getting a little bit high. I'll ask Malachi to maybe tap him or I'll pick up something and throw it at him. Maybe like soft, like a pillow, you know, and that works. That gets his attention. But you know, he can have both ear cups on. He's intently focused on what he's watching. But at that point, when I want him to hear my voice, it is noise simply getting in the way of him hearing what I have to say. And just like I want my son to hear my voice, we have a heavenly Father who speaks to us, and his desire is that we would hear his voice. Jesus said it like this in John 10, 27. He said, my sheep, they listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. And Jesus, he's giving this picture that, hey, I am a good shepherd. I speak. And for us as his disciples, as his followers, that we hear his voice and we respond. But the point is that God speaks and we can hear his voice. But there's a point to it that we would hear and we respond. We would listen and we would obey. And his desire is that we would hear his voice so clearly. The problem is that there is so much noise going on in the world right now. I don't know if you can relate to this, but the media is extraordinarily loud. And if you're like me, you like to try and keep up with the news throughout the day because there's like new announcements, new restrictions. What's the numbers today? What's going on in other parts of the world? You know, I'm from New Zealand. I like to keep up with New Zealand news and what's going on. And we can, you know, just get so full of the noise of the media and our lives. The media is loud, and then there's social media, and we're trying to keep up with what's going on in friends' lives, and we get frustrated, and so we, you know, maybe post a comment online or a status, and then we've got keyboard warriors coming out left, right, and center, and they're posting all their thoughts and their opinions on our posts, and then we get caught up in reading other people's posts, and then the rabbit holes of comments, and it just becomes this noise in our lives, and then there's the opinions of friends and family, of colleagues, just about everything at the moment, and people's opinions are so loud. And then on top of that, we've got what's going on in our current circumstances in society, wherever your society is. For me here in Victoria, still locked down, a part of our lives, but also personal circumstances. And we take into consideration what's going on in our finances, our mental health, what's going on in our family. We're trying to make jobs work at home. We're trying to care for kids who are remote learning. And there's just so much noise as we care for ourselves, care for others and our families, and just try and make it all work for us. There's just so much noise right now. Do you sense that? And it's exhausting. And the thing with noise, it can cause us to forget the past. It can cause us to forget what God has done. It can cause us to forget how far we have come when we start to get so infiltrated by noise. Noise that can distort our perspective. Yeah, we don't see clearly what is a real perspective on life right now. Noise that can cause us to have like a false reality. We don't see life like it really is, and we can forget some of our key values and our core things that we know to be true about our God and our faith. Noise gets in the way, and we can have so much noise in our lives that we can come to believe that God doesn't speak to us. But that's not reality at all. The reality is that God speaks. There's just so much noise that we can't hear what he's saying. We've got to cut through the noise. You know, Elijah, he was a guy, a prophet in the Old Testament. And as a prophet in the Old Testament, he was a mouthpiece and a messenger for God. And he would do great works on behalf of God. And I tell you, if there was not that, there isn't, but if there was like levels of prophets, Elijah would be elite prophet level. He would be like level 100. He'd be like the prophet of prophets in a sense. He was a really significant man in the Old Testament. And he was such a significant prophet that he never died. He went up to heaven in a whirlwind. And Elijah starts to experience some noise, which causes him to run, where we find and pick up the story that he's in a cave. And it's just a great reminder that even the best of us, even the most spiritual people, can still be susceptible to the noise in life. That can cause us to forget the past, distort our perspective, and give us a false reality. And that's exactly what Elijah experiences. But before we pick up the story, just a little bit of context. What had happened is Ahab had become the king of Israel, and he was not a man after God's heart. He did not serve the Lord God. He served and worshipped Baal. And he married a woman called Jezebel, who also worshipped Baal. And the thing about Baal, he was the Lord of rain and dew. And that's who they believed him to be. Well, the worshippers of Baal, they build a temple for Baal. They build an altar to make sacrifices to Baal, which is very similar to the way that they would worship the Lord God. And Elijah comes to Ahab with a message. And he says, essentially, you're worshiping the Lord of the rain and dew, but there's not going to be any rain and dew for the next few years, except that God's word, there's going to be a drought. And so Elijah delivers this message, and then he runs, and he goes into hiding. He finds himself in a ravine. He starts to see God do some amazing things. God starts to feed him by ravens, bringing him bread and meat morning and night. I think that's pretty cool. I haven't had that. I think that's a pretty neat experience. I've experienced God's provision, but not with birds bringing me food. The brook dries up where he is, so he goes to a widow's house, and she hasn't got any supplies, any olive oil or flour. to make him a loaf of bread. So he miraculously provides by the power of God an endless supply of flour and oil until the drought would be over. That's pretty cool. And then this widow's boy, he dies. Well, Elijah stretches his body over the boys, brings him back to life. Like God, he's seen God do some amazing things. And then he challenges the prophets of Baal to a sacrifice off. And what I mean, like, he's going to challenge them to a sacrifice to see whose God is really God. And so they go up Mount Carmel, and the 450 prophets of Baal, Elijah says, "You prepare your sacrifice, a bull, and I'll prepare my sacrifice, also a bull." And so you, he said, "You guys go first." They prepare the sacrifice. They put it on the ground. They put it on wood, and they start to worship their God. And the God who responds with fire, he's going to be, the Lord God. And so the prophets of Baal, they start to dance around the fire. They start around the sacrifice. There's no fire yet. They're worshiping Baal. They're trying to call down this fire from heaven. They go from morning to night. They get desperate. They start slashing themselves. Blood's flowing. There's no fire. But now it's Elijah's turn. He prepares the sacrifice, puts it on 12 stones, representing the 12 stones of the 12 tribes of Israel, prepares the wood, puts their bull on top. And then he digs a trench and pours water on top, maybe about 12 liters. The trenches are full. And he prays. And God sends fire from heaven so intense, it consumes the sacrifice, the wood, the stones, the soil underneath the sacrifice, and every drop of water in the trench. The Lord God proves that he is God and Baal is not. And then the 450 prophets of Baal are put to death. And so Baal, the Lord of the rain and dew, he's proven that he is not God at all. And then Elijah prophesies rain, and rain begins to fall. Mighty power of God at work through Elijah. And I bet Elijah is starting to think, surely Ahab and Jezebel, surely they have to see that God is God. And that this Baal that they're worshiping, he's not God at all. And he's hoping, he's believing that through what he has done, putting himself on the line for the Lord God Almighty, that it would change Jezebel's and Ahab's heart, but it didn't work. Ahab runs back to Jezebel and tells her everything that Elijah has done, and she sends a message to Elijah saying, "May the gods deal with me ever so severely if by this time tomorrow you are not dead." Well, Elijah receives this message and the noise starts to resonate inside. And I don't know what he's thinking, but I kind of think we get a little bit of insight. But what it does, it causes him to forget everything God's just done. And he gets a warped perspective, a distorted perspective in this false reality that he's the only one left, the only prophet left. And he runs for his life into the desert. And he finds himself in this cave where he has this incredible encounter with God. And he hears God's voice afresh. And there's some things that I think that we can see in what Elijah does that can help us unpack this a little. Just let us get a little bit of insight into the noise that he's experiencing before we see how he cut through the noise. He's in this cave and the Lord God calls out to Elijah, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" And this is how Elijah responds. He says, "I have been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty." What's he saying? "I've been busy. I've been busy, God. I'm tired, but I have been busy for you." He says, "The Israelites have rejected your covenant, torn down your altars, and put your prophets to death with the sword. Hey, I'm burdened. You know, everything I've done, the nation of Israel, they're no better off even after seeing you move powerfully. Their hearts are still not towards you, their hearts are still not towards you, Lord." And he's burdened and he's anxious. Where is this change and where is it going to come from? Everything I've done has been a waste of time. And then he says, "And what's more, I am the only one left. And now they're trying to kill me too." He's got this kind of false sense of reality because he's not really the only one left. But it's his reality at that point in time. That's how he's seeing things. He's got a distorted view. He's not seeing life like it really is. He's burdened. He's anxious. He's afraid, and he's tired from being busy. But he manages to have an encounter with God to cut through the noise and hear God's voice afresh. Here's a few things that God's just spoken into my heart this week that I want to share with you. Three things that I think we can learn from Elijah to help us cut through the noise. Please hear me. This isn't a method. There's no methodology, but it's some things that we can do that I really do believe will help us connect with God's heart. The first thing Elijah does is he gets alone. He not alone from the bank. He gets alone with God, alone by himself. And he runs into the desert. Initially, he's running with his servant, but he leaves his servant at Beersheba. And he keeps running for another day into the wilderness. And he's so tired, he falls under a tree and the noise is so loud. He says, God, I'd rather not be alive. I'd rather just die right now. He's so tired, I don't really think that he realizes he's supplied with supplies by two angels. And then he restores his strength through this food, the sustenance, and he runs he goes for another 40 days and 40 nights into the desert, and he finds himself alone. He's going to get alone with God. He's not with his life group. He's not running to a pastor. He's not running to a friend. Please hear me. These things aren't wrong, but there's something significant about getting alone with God. You know, I think that we fall into a trap in our day and age and in my culture that we substitute God's voice for the voice of so many other voices in our lives. What do I mean? You know, with technology and the amount of content that there is online, that there's, you know, preacher after preacher, and we can listen to the best preachers of the world. You know, you don't have to listen to me right now. You can go and listen to some of the best preachers. And they've got some deep messages and great messages, spirit-filled messages, and some great phraseology. And please hear me, as a preacher, we want nothing more than to connect you with God's heart, for you to hear God's voice through what we're speaking. That is our utmost desire. But here's the point, you don't have to go through us to hear God's voice. That was the whole point, you know, of the temple curtain being torn in two when Jesus died on the cross, that he was, as the temple curtain was torn in two, God was saying, hey, there is no longer separation between my people and my presence, but we can go directly to Jesus as the great high priest that talks about in Hebrews 4, the great high priest, we can go directly to his throne of grace and meet with him. You don't have to go through anyone. You don't have to go through me, through a message, through a sermon to connect with God. You can go directly to him, to get a fresh word from him, to cut through the noise. And that's what Elijah does. He gets alone. He's in a cave to get with God. You know, this last few weeks, the noise has just been so loud. This last week, as I've been trying to prepare this message, the noise has been, it's been excruciatingly loud. My kids are at home on school holidays, and my kids, they're normal kids. They've been bad kids. They're just normal kids at home, having fun, doing what they do, making noise. And being kids, we've got renovations, so we've got no doors in our house right now. So I couldn't get away to get away from the noise. And on Thursday afternoon, it just became too much. And I just needed to get out and to clear my head. I put my jacket on. It was raining. I just went for a walk. You know what's good about walking in the rain? You're alone. There's no one else out there. And I just walked for an hour and just connected with God. And just prayed, God, what do you want to say to your people this morning? And this is where he laid a bunch of this stuff on my heart. These aren't just good ideas. I really do believe these are God ideas. But sometimes to get God's ideas, to get his thoughts, to hear his voice, we've got to get alone with him. We see Jesus do this repeatedly in the Gospels. He would retreat from the disciples. He'd retreat from the busyness of life. He'd go onto a mountainside. He'd get away. He'd get alone and get intimate with God. Intimacy isn't produced with others around us. It's produced when we get alone. Jesus said in Matthew 6, you know, when you pray, go into your room and shut the door behind you. There's a sense of being alone to pray, being alone. Hey, communal prayer is awesome as well, but getting alone with God, there's something significant in it. I think we've lost the importance of being alone, being comfortable in silence, trying to cut through the noise to hear what God is saying to us. Elijah got alone with God. I think we need to have a desire to get alone with God, to connect with him, to hear his voice afresh. So Elijah, he's running. He finds himself in a cave, but it took him 40 days or 40 nights to get there. You know, that tells me that there's a high cost. And where he was going, you know, like that's a tough journey. He put a lot of effort to get there. 40 days and 40 nights, he traveled to Horeb. Now Horeb, what we need to understand, is a significant place. It's known as the Mountain of God. Mount Sinai is the same place where Moses spent 40 days and 40 nights, where he received the 10 commandments from the Lord God. And Elijah could very well be in the same cave that Moses spent his time in. We don't know. But Elijah, he knows where he's going. He's going and he's going to the mountain of God, to meet with God. But yeah, here's the thing. I don't think it's about the location that he's going to as much as it is about the expectation that he has that he's going to meet with God there. He got alone with God, but he got expectant that he was going to meet with God there too. And so he's traveling and he finds himself on the mountain and he's got this expectation. And what happens is that he experiences God, which is so cool. Like God met his expectation. But you know what? We don't have a location we run to. Yes, we can come to church and that's a location, but we don't, it's not like it's a summit, a mountain of God. It's the only place where we can hear God. It's not about the location. Elijah wasn't about the location. It was about the expectation that he expressed in traveling 40 days and 40 nights that he was going to meet with God. And you know, we've got the Holy Spirit. Jesus said in John 16 that he was going to send the advocate, the Holy Spirit that would dwell inside of us. We have the Spirit of God that lives in us. You know, one of the roles of the Spirit, he's a helper, he's a guide, but his role is to make known to us what God says to him, what God reveals to him. And so, and that's the whole point, what he receives from the Father, He speaks to us. And so we have God's Spirit inside of us that speaks to us, that guides us, that leads us. We can have an expectation that God will speak to us because His Spirit lives in us if we profess Jesus as our Lord and Savior. I think that is pretty awesome. You know, I've always had an expectation that God would guide my life and just lead my life. I haven't made significant moves in my life without God guiding me, without God speaking clearly. From about the age of 12 years old, this expectation was just in my spirit. And, you know, I still wear this little tag. It's got Proverbs 3, verse 5 and 6. I was given it at 12 years old. Trust in the Lord your God, and he will direct your paths, it says. And so I've always just had this expectation that God will direct me, that he would guide me, he would lead me. And so, as I've had that expectation, as I've had that faith in God, that's exactly how he's moved. And he guided me through my studies in my earlier years, and he guided me to my wife, and we got married. He made it very clear she was the one for me. Guided me overseas to do my studies in Sydney, back to New Zealand. And he guided aspects of my ministry and family life, and he guided us here to Melbourne, Australia, where we're on team here at Crossway. And that wasn't something we orchestrated. That was us being obedient to God's voice speaking to us. But I've always had an expectation that he would guide him, that he would guide me, that he would lead me. His word is a lamp unto my feet. And that's how I'm going to see it. And he speaks to me through his word. And he speaks to me through all these different things. But as a man of God, I want to hear God's voice, not just as a pastor. You know, as the pastor part's secondary. But yes, I want God to speak into my ministry. But I want him to speak into my life and to guide my life. I want him to guide my family. I want him to tell me how to use my finances. I want to hear him speak. And so therefore, I get up daily. Most days I get up and I get a coffee and I try and get alone with God and I get into the word with an expectation that God will speak to me. Does he always? No. But I have an expectation that he will. God shows up when we have an expectation. But you know the cool thing? He doesn't just show up when we have expectation. He shows up when we don't expect it as well. And I have this sense in my spirit as I was praying this last week that the noise has become so loud and so constant for so many people that you have lost an expectation that God speaks. You just, maybe you've come to believe the reality that God doesn't and will not speak to you. But it's just the fact that the noise is so loud, you've lost the expectation that he will. And I have a sense this morning that God is renewing a hopeful expectation in people's hearts, in your spirit, that God would speak to you, that you'd have a desire to get alone. You'd have a desire and an expectation that he wants to speak into your life. Elijah got alone. He got expectant. And then he's in the cave. And he hears God's voice. And he hears God's voice say, after he responds, you know, he asks Elijah, what have you been doing here? Elijah says, I've been busy, Lord. I'm burdened. I'm anxious and I'm afraid. Sam summary. And Elijah hears God say, go and stand on the mountain for I'm about to pass by. But what's interesting to me is that Elijah doesn't move. He doesn't move. He stays still. And we hear the story. And we read the story, and then a great and powerful wind came, but the Lord wasn't in the wind. And then there was an earthquake, but Elijah didn't sense the Lord in the earthquake either. And then there was a fire, but he didn't sense God in the fire. But then there was a gentle whisper. There was a gentle whisper. And it was then that he responded and he went and stood at the mouth of the cave. You know, the earthquake, the wind, and the fire, they were all, those were three ways that Elijah could expect God to speak. Why? Because that's exactly how God revealed himself to Moses. In Moses' life and in Moses' time on Mount Sinai at Horeb. But that's not how God chose to reveal himself, to speak to Elijah. God chose to speak with a gentle whisper, and that's what he was in. And we've got to be careful that we don't box God in, that we expect him to speak in just expected ways. We've got to expect God to speak to us in unexpected ways, in fresh ways. If we're always looking for him to speak in the same way, we can sometimes miss what he might be speaking into our hearts and into our lives. Because no, God, that's not how you speak. You don't speak like this. You only speak like this. We cannot box God in. Elijah got alone. He got expectant, but he looked for God to speak in unexpected ways. God speaks in all sorts of different ways. He can speak through people. He can speak through, you know, just a thought, a fresh thought, something that stands out to you. We talk about, you know, when we're multiplying disciples and we're looking for God at work. We say, hey, just what stands out to you? What stands out to you in your life? It could be just an inclination in your spirit to go and have an impact on somebody's life. And maybe to go and buy someone a meal. It could be to go and pray for someone. Then that thought, you hadn't had that thought before. Hey, that could be the voice of the Holy Spirit saying, go and do something. Last year, my wife, she didn't tell me this, but she had a feeling that that we should sell our house. I got a phone call one morning from a friend in New Zealand. We had a house in New Zealand, and he rang up and he just said, hey, Sam, I don't know if you're thinking of selling, but if you are, now's the right time to sell. And what's funny is 3 months earlier, he'd said, don't sell your house. It's too good an investment. And here he's ringing me and saying, hey, if you're thinking of selling, which I wasn't, now's a good time to sell. And I just kind of stepped back. I go, that was a really odd phone call. It stood out to me. Steph comes home, she'd been out, and I said, hey, I got this odd phone call, you know. Martin rang from New Zealand, and he said this, and he said, hey, if your thing is selling, now's the right time. She said, that's crazy, because I had been feeling like now is the right time to sell, but I hadn't told you that, and I said to God that I want you to hear it from somebody else. And here I'm getting this phone call. All of a sudden, God's got our attention. Okay, God, what do you know? I'd never had God speak to me through a phone call before like that. But it just started to stand out, and God's speaking to us and he's guiding us. And so we just follow through and go, all right, God, we sell the house. And so we put it on the market. Did it go the way that we planned it to? No, it was a little bit different. The whole process was different to the way we expected it to. But we trusted God because we believed that we'd heard God's voice came in an unexpected way. We can't box things in. We can't box God in the way that he might choose to speak to us. We've got to be responsive and look for him to speak to us in unexpected ways. Here's the thing. Elijah heard God's voice in the gentle whisper. Elijah, then when he senses the gentle whisper from God, then he covers his face with his cloak and he goes and he stands at the mouth of the cave. What's he doing? God's voice always draws us closer to him. It never pushes us further away. It draws us closer. His father heart, he wants us to be intimate with him. He wants us to get closer to him. And Elijah gets closer. And it's his response to be obedient, to then go and stand on the mountain. And so he goes and he stands on the mountain. And so often God's voice elicits a response. It requires a response from us. We listen and we obey. We hear and we respond. And Elijah, he's there. He's at the mouth of the cave. God asks him the same question again over in verse 13. He says, then a voice said to him, what are you doing here, Elijah? And he says the same thing. Here's the funny thing. The noise hasn't gone away. I've been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, torn down your altars, and put your prophets to death with the sword. I am the only one left. And now they're trying to kill me too. That's exactly the same reply. The noise is still there, but here's the difference. He got alone. He got expectant. He looked for God to speak in unexpected ways. He managed to cut through the noise to hear God's voice afresh. And as he hears God's voice afresh, God does this. He says, go back the way you came. He's almost reminding Elijah of what Elijah had done in the past, of what God had done through him in the past. Go back the way you came, causing him to remember the past, not forget the past. He gives them the instructions about what to do next, almost giving them a renewed perspective. Hey, I'm still God. I'm still in control. What you have done has not been a waste of time. I am still at work. And he says, go and anoint Jehu, son of Nimshi, king over Israel. Ahab's not going to be the king anymore. Go and find Elisha. He's going to be your successor. He gives him these instructions. And then he says this to him, yet I reserve 7,000 in Israel, those whose knees have not bowed and worshipped Baal. And he restores reality. Elijah is not alone. He is not the last man standing. There are 7,000 others. Come on, when God cuts through the noise, when we cut through the noise, God can cut through the noise and he can speak so clearly. The noise doesn't disappear, but we can connect with God's heart afresh. We can hear his voice, and that's his desire. He speaks, but we've got to cut through the noise to hear his voice. We've got to get alone with God. We've got to get expectant. And we're going to look for God to speak, not just in expected ways, but in unexpected ways as well. And I really believe that there's a season of noise, and that as followers of Jesus, that we're just being distracted by the noise. And the noise is so loud, but I believe God is creating a desire in our hearts that we would be people that cut through the noise, because we want to hear his voice afresh. We want to connect with his spirit and our spirit afresh today. And I believe God wants to do that. And we're gonna set some time aside in just a moment. We're gonna sing a song called Sanctuary. That's a nice, peaceful, kind of reflective song. And you might want to just take your device, if you're watching on a device, and go into a room by yourself. Get alone. Or maybe you want to do this later in the day because your kids are just running around the house. I get it. I got kids at home too. I want to urge you, get alone with God. Get an expectation that he would speak to you, because he wants to speak something fresh into your life today. Let me pray, and then we're going to worship. Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you for your goodness to us. Thank you that your heart is towards us. And Lord, that you're always speaking. Lord, you don't go silent on us. Lord, you're speaking, but there's so much noise. And Lord, I pray that you would help us be people that have a desire to hear your voice afresh. That Lord, we would cut through the noise. And Lord, we'd do whatever it takes to cut through the noise. Just like Elijah got alone, Lord, and he got expectant, a 40-day journey to get alone with you and to get to a place where he could hear you. Lord, that we would be people who desire and have a renewed desire to connect with your heart. And that, Lord, as we do that, that we would hear you speak, and we would hear you guide our lives, and we would hear you direct us. And we would just know that we know that we know that, Lord, you are guiding our lives, and that, Lord, our lives are honoring you as a result. Father, we thank you that you never leave us nor forsake us, but Lord, your spirit that dwells in us, Lord, wants to speak to us. And so, Lord, right now we press into you. We open our hearts and we expect to hear from you, Lord God. Amen. Let's worship Crossway.